This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الأحبة في الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل إن صحيح مسلم from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He's telling us the story of the last man who will enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of our steps to Jannah. He said it's a man who will come out of hellfire and he will be falling and trying to stand up again and he'll be crawling. And then he would look behind to hellfire and he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi najjani mink. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who saved me from you. There is no one on earth who has been given a blessing better than me just to be saved from hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise a tree for him that's lush and beautiful. Then he would say, Ya Allah, please, draw me closer to that tree. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to him, if I were to do that for you, would you ask me for more? And then the man would say no. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will draw him closer to that tree. And he will be under the shade of the tree. And he will drink from the water there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise another tree which is bigger and lashier than the first one. And when the man looks at the tree, he would say, Ya Allah, this one, would you please draw me closer to this one? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he has been through in hellfire. So Allah would say to him, didn't you promise the first time if I were to draw you to the first one, you wouldn't ask for more? But because Allah knows that he went through a lot, he'll draw him closer to that one. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would raise a third one that's bigger and lashier. And the man again will ask me to draw him closer to the third one. And Allah would say the same thing to him, but he'll draw him closer. Then he'll be there in front of Jannah. And he would hear the people in Jannah talking to each other. He would say, Ya Allah, would you allow me to enter Jannah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say to him, what if I allow you to enter Jannah and I will give you the kingdom equal to a king in the dunya? One time, two times, three times, four times, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches 10 times, and the man would say, أَتَهْزَأُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Are you making fun of me and you are the master of the universe? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would smile. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he narrated the hadith, smiled. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he narrated the hadith, was smiling. And he asked all the Sahaba to smile. And because I'm narrating the hadith now, I want you to smile. Because that was the reaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that man. He said, لَا أَهْزَأُ بِكْ وَلَكِنِّي عَلَى مَا أَشَاءُ قَادِرٌ. I'm not making fun of you. But if I wish something, if I will something, nobody can stop me. I will make it happen. Brothers and sisters, this is the least man in Jannah. And this is the last one to enter Jannah. What about the best man who will make it to Jannah? And the question is, here's another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and the narrator is Anas ibn Malik. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the story of the first one who will make it to Jannah. This is the last one. Who's the first one to make it to Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنا أول من يدخل الجنة فأمسك بحلق بابها فأقعقعها. I'll be the first one to enter Jannah. I'm going to hold the doorknobs of Jannah and I will knock. فيقال لي من خلف الباب من. Then a voice will come from behind the door asking who. فأقول محمد بن عبد الله. Then I would say Muhammad the son of Abdullah. فيقال لي بك أمرنا ألا نفتح لأحد قبلك. We have instructions not to open the gates of Jannah for anyone before you. فيفتحونها فأكون أول من يدخلها. Then they will open the gates of Jannah and I'll be the first one to enter Jannah. After sharing these two stories about Jannah, the last one and the first one, would you like to enter Jannah? I'm sure the answer of all of you would be yes. But which part of Jannah? That's the most important thing. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us, he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى. If you were to ask Allah, you should aim high. Ask Him the highest rank in Jannah, which is al-Firdaus. This is why the best man in this ummah, after all the prophets, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about the 8 gates of Jannah. There's an 8 called the Rayyan for the fasting people. There's a gate for those who give charity, as-sadaqah. There's a gate for, you know, jihad. There's a gate for those, you know, Ahlul Salah. So there are 8 gates of Jannah. And then Abu Bakr is sitting there. He's not asking like you and me, I wish I would be saved from hellfire. No. He learned the hadith from the Prophet sallam, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى. If you were to ask Allah, ask Him the top of Jannah, which is al-Firdaus. He said, Prophet of Allah, would there be a man who will make it to Jannah through all the 8 gates of Jannah? قَالَ نَعَمْ يَا أَبَا بَكْرْ وَأَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ. He said, yes, Abu Bakr, and you're one of them. And you and I would say, lucky you, Abu Bakr. No, there's nothing called luck in Islam. Jannah is not cheap. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. The merchandise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is selling is very expensive. What are the qualities of the people who will make it to Jannah? That's the topic of today's khutbah. And I'm gonna start flashback with the end of the ayat that I wanna share with you today. You know, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, there is a recipe for those who will make it to the top of Jannah. And I'm gonna start with ayah number 10 and 11 in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these two ayat, أولئك هم الوارثون. These are the inheritors. And this is like a cliffhanger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for you and I to say, who are they, Ya Allah? What shall they inherit? He said, الذين يرثون الفردوس. Those who will inherit الفردوس, the top of Jannah. For how long, Ya Allah? For a day? For a week? For a month? For a year? هم فيها خالدون. They will be there forever. Imagine, 1 second in Jannah will make the person who experienced the most miserable life in dunya forget all about his misery. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. يؤتى يوم القيامة بأبأس أهل الأرض. On the day of judgment, a man who led a very miserable life. He moved from one hardship to the other. But he was a good person and he was patient. He accepted the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be dipped in Jannah for 1 second. And he will be asked, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَطْ. Have you seen misery in your life? He would say, La wallahi. 1 second in Jannah will make the person forget all about his misery. And 1 second in hellfire will make the man who lived the most luxurious and easy life will forget all about the luxury in the dunya. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِأَنْعَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيُغْمَسْ فِي النَّارِ غَمْسَةً وَاحِدَةً ثُمَّ يُقَالُ لَهُ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَطْ فَيَقُولُ لَا وَاللَّهِ. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from hellfire and guide all of our steps to Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the ayat by saying, these are the inheritors. What shall they inherit, Ya Allah? Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. For how long? For eternity. Forever. But did they go to Al-Firdaus because they're lucky? Because they're lazy people? Because they're liars? Because they're cheaters? Because they're arrogant? Because they're dishonest? No. Let's go back to the beginning of the ayat and see what are the qualities of the people who will make it to Al-Firdaus so we can apply them in our life. If they are good and if they are bad, we stay away from them. Let's go to the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ يَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Falah is different from najah. Najah means success. Some people get 50% and they succeed. But falah means the highest degree of success that comes after efforts, sweat, and blood. That's falah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will attain falah? The believers. He didn't say الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, because الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they are still in the process. But مُؤْمِنُون means they got it already. It's their name now. It's their main quality. And be careful, because in all the ayat that I'm going to recite now, Allah did not use the verb, He used the noun. What's the difference between the verb and the noun when it's used in the Quran? The verb is something temporary, but the noun is permanent. So Allah didn't say قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but He said قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, because they have been working on their iman until they attained their full iman. So they became mu'minun. Who are they, Ya Allah? Number one, what's the first ingredient in the recipe to make it to Al-Firdaus Al-A'la? What's the first quality of the people who deserve to be amongst the inheritors of Al-Firdaus Al-A'la? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those in their salah. Allah didn't say يخشعون. He said خاشعون. Again the noun. Why? Because they have been doing jihad against themselves in their salah until khushu' became their own quality. So they became خاشعون, not يخشعون. Because يخشع maybe one time, two times, once in a blue moon. But khashi'un means they have been doing a lot. So when they connect with Allah in their salah, they forget about the whole world. And they live with the ayat. This is why they cry when they listen to the Quran. They cry when they recite the Quran. They're not absent-minded while they are in their salah. How many times do we exercise khushu' in our salah? How many times do we feel like, oh Imam, please finish, man. We have a business outside. This is too much. And we step outside the masjid and we start backbiting for half an hour. But we complain because the Imam took 2 minutes more. Where is that khushu' that we enjoy in our salah? Do we enjoy the company of Allah? Do we want the Imam to recite the entire Quran so that we can connect with Allah in salah? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The first quality is that they are successful in the relationship with Allah, because salah is the vertical relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on we're going to come to the horizontal relationship, the creation between the creation and the creation. So the first quality, they enjoy the relationship with Allah. And they are invited 5 times to the house of the King of all kings. And they enjoy that invitation when they come to the masjid and they immerse themselves in salah and they say, Ya Allah, I will dedicate those 10 minutes and I will be living with you in the 10 minutes. I'm not going to be thinking about the dunya, because we come in salah and there's a special shaitan in salah who will remind us of everything except salah. But the believers, the true believers, they do their best to have khushu' in all of their salah until they become khashi'un, not yakhsha'un. That's quality number one. Quality number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. If you have somebody sitting next to you, especially those who are leaning their back to the wall and sleeping, wake them up. Tell them to listen to the khutbah, inshallah. And ask them not to lean to the wall next time, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the second quality of the believers, you can't miss like a khutbah about al-firdaus al-ala and sleep in the masjid, okay? Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ. Again, not يُعْرِضُون, but he used the noun. He said, مُعْرِضُون. What's اللغو? اللغو, any idle talk, any vain talk. You know what? Most of our talks over the phone are لغو. Most of our talks when we meet together is لغو. So we need to stop that. Allah said, they avoid. No, Allah didn't use the verb. They keep avoiding until it becomes their quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When they stop by some people who are doing لغو, they are wasting their time in vain talk, they just avoid that. They try to change the topic. If they cannot, they leave. Because if they stay, they are part of that لغو. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ معرضون. قال العلماء اللغو هو ما لا فائدة منه من الكلام. الكلام الذي لا يضر ولا ينفع. It's vain talk. It's idle talk. You know? And part of that, some of the scholars said it's music. When you listen to the lyrics of music, that's nonsensical. It has no message for you. That's also لغو. So you stay away from that. والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون. Quality number three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. So quality number one was the vertical relationship, the relationship between the creation and the creator. Quality number two is the relationship between the creation and the creation, which is avoiding idle talk. If you're going to be talking about someone in their absence, you better go and talk to them. And as I always say, talk to me, don't talk about me. Because talking about me is backbiting, and this is a major sin. But talking to me is an advice, and this is the essence of the deen. Quality number three, again, is one of the monetary ibadah. And it has to do with the vertical, again, the horizontal relationship, which is the relationship between the creation and the creation. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حق معلوم, which is زكاة للسائل والمحروم. For those who, you know, who beg and those who are deprived, those who don't have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, He did not say, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ يُؤَدُّونَ or يَدْفَعُونَ. He didn't say those who offer زكاة, those who give زكاة, those who perform زكاة. No, He said فَاعِلُونَ. Can I do زكاة? Why fa'ilun? He used the noun again. Because you never stop giving zakah, so it becomes one of your qualities. Not only that, some other scholars said zakah in this ayah could mean one of two things. The majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said zakah here means the zakah, one of the pillars of Islam, when you give the due right on your money. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulated in Surah number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 16, and He talked about 8 categories who deserve zakah. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. And you can go on. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا, to the end of the ayah. Then, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what could be the other meaning of zakah here? They said, زَكَاةُ النَّفْسِ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها. So zakah here means to purify yourself from shirk, to purify yourself from miserliness, to purify yourself from anything that's bad, from inequality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. Like what? Like hypocrisy, like arrogance, like lying, any bad quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to stay away from. So this is why Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. So you keep trying to give zakah all the time and give charity, which is something extra, which is sadaqat. And also you keep purifying yourself until it becomes one of your qualities. So you are not performing, no, you are a fa'il of zakah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. What's next? So number one, khushu' in salah. Number two, i'rad an al-lagh. Number three, fi'lu zakah. Number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ.
Quality number four, chastity. The only legal relationship between a man and a woman in Islam is marriage. So, when they want to release their hormones, when they want to exercise that right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, that desire inside them, there's only one halal way to do it. It's through marriage. So being chaste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is another quality of the people who will make it to Al-Firdaus. They do not womanize. They do not cheat. They do not date. They do not engage in haram relationships. The only way is marriage. And then the next quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about is
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ.
And they are those when it comes to two things, amana and ahd. Amana is a trust. When they are entrusted, you know, they are honest. And you can be trusted with two things. You can be trusted with something tangible, and you can be trusted with something abstract. So if you are entrusted with anything, somebody keeps money with you, you give it back. Somebody trusts you with a secret, you don't go around and disclose that secret. So you have to be honest when it comes to the amanat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands you to give the trusts back to the people who trusted you with these trusts. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ. عَهْد is a covenant, is a contract. When you give a covenant to someone, when you sign a contract with someone, you have to be honest. You cannot sign a contract or give somebody a verbal promise and take it back. This is khiyana. This is treachery. This is treason. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, آيَةُ الْمُنَافِقِ ثَلَاثِ وَفِي رِوَايَةَ أَرْبَعَ. The signs of a hypocrite are three. Another narration, he said four. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, he lies. He doesn't tell the truth. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. When he promises, he doesn't keep his promise. Even if that promise would be to come and see someone. Even if your car broke down. If something happens, you got sick and you did not apologize. That's خِيَانَةْ أَمَانَةْ. That's a sign of hypocrisy. وَإِذَا أْتُمِنَ خَانْ. When that person is trusted with something, whether it's something tangible or something abstract, they never give the trust back or they disclose the secrets of people when they trust them with their secrets. And the fourth one, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرْ. When something happens between you and your brother or between you and your sister, they go around and again, they distort and they defame you and they distort your image in front of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one of the qualities of the people who will make it to Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Check yourself out and make sure that if you engage in idle talk, If you are struggling with your khushu' and your salah, if you feel lazy when it comes to zakah, if you feel lazy when it comes to purifying yourself from all the bad qualities, if you are engaged in a haram relationship, if you are not trustworthy when it comes to the trust the people give you, or the covenants or the contracts that you sign with people, make sure that you make tawbah and you go back to Allah. The last quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with us in the last ayat before 10 and 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went back to talk about the first quality, which is salah. He said,
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ.
Allahu Akbar. Allah started with the first quality talking about salah, and he ended up again to talk about salah. Why? Because this is the most important pillar in Islam. If you don't have a good connection with Allah, if you don't enjoy your relationship with Allah, you will never be successful in your relationship with the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he said khushu', enjoying the connection with Allah, now he's talking about what? He said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. It means they pray on time. And they, when they pray, they make sure that they pray salah with all the conditions of salah. As we said earlier, khushu' in salah, but they also keep the arkan of salah. They keep the sunan of salah. They keep the shurut of salah. So they do salah the way it should be, because Allah never in the Quran said, wasallu, pray, or wa'addu salah, perform salah. It's always wa'aqimu salah, establish salah. So they are not amongst those. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, you know, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّذِي قَالَ عَنْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ فِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are cursed when it comes to the time of their salah. What if Allah said they are distracted in their salah? Because all of us go through this. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in surah number 19, surah Maryam, if you read in ayat 39 and below, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ. And there came a generation after them, they wasted salah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum and his tafsir said, أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ means, أَخَّرُوهَا عَنْ وَقْتِهَا. The meaning of they wasted salah in this ayah, it doesn't mean they did not pray. No, it means they delayed salah. They did not pray on time. Allahu Akbar. What's the reason? Listen to the next ayah right away. Allah said, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, because they followed their desires. What makes you waste your salah and delay your salah? You're watching a movie. And you say, Alhamdulillah, there are 3 hours, man, for the coming salah. Let me finish the movie. Let me finish the game. So you follow your own desires. You forget about salah. So Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Then if you have these 5 qualities, you have khushu' in your salah, and it doesn't come at once, because Allah said khashi'un, which means you have to develop that habit for a long time until it becomes a noun, not a verb. And also the second one, do not engage in vain or idle talk. Number 3, perform zakah. No, give zakah all the time, and also try to purify yourself from all the bad qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't like to have in yourself. And number 3, you have also, you know, to make sure that you have a halal relationship, which is called marriage. Stay away from anything haram. You also have to be honest when it comes to the trusts that people trust you with, and you have to honor any contract that you have with people, and you have to pray in time. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، أيها الأحبة في الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. After this khutbah, I'm sure that all of us want to be amongst the inheritors of Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. But as I mentioned earlier, Jannah is not cheap. Jannah is the mercy of Allah. Jannah is the reward of Allah. And we go through a lot in our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke about salah as being the first quality and the last quality when it comes to the people of the Firdaus al-A'la. Why? Allah said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. It's very heavy. Salah is very heavy. Except for those who have khushu'. Why? Because those who do not have khushu', they don't want the Imam to recite more than one ayah. And they want to go out because they enjoy this dunya. But those who have khushu' would say like the Prophet ﷺ, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. Not أَرِحْنَا مِنْهَا يَا بِلَال. O Bilal, make adhan. Let's join Allah. Let's talk to Allah. Let's complain to Allah. Let's enjoy the company of Allah. Fatima radiallahu anha used to say, how short is the night to enjoy the company of Allah in Salatul Layl? Only those people would understand the meaning of وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So brothers and sisters, let's develop these qualities if we really want to be amongst the inheritors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. اللهم لا تدع لنا وللحاضرين ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا عيبا إلا سترته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا صلاحا إلا يسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كل إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم كل إخواننا المنكوبين في إندونيسيا وفي كل مكان يستضعف فيه المسلمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر. اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم إنا نسألك لسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا وعملا متقبلا ودعاء مستجابا. طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعمالنا من الرياء وقلوبنا من النفاق. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله. وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأقم الصلاة.